Okay, turn to Genesis chapter 7, and we will continue there. Seven talks about the preparation, Noah's preparation for the flood, God's instruction. We saw three times the list of those that were to be in the ark. One was God's list of who wants it, who's to be in there, a list of who went in there, and then a verification, a list at the end. Noah, his wife, his sons, their wives, all the animals, clean and unclean. We're told three times, we'll see another time. 40 days and 40 nights is supposed to rain upon the earth. So God gives us details about the flood. We got started down through the actual flood account, how the waters prevailed. The waters prevailed exceedingly. We'll see again in another word or another verse in a few minutes that the waters prevailed. We see the description of the flood and that the water was exceeding high above all the hills, that everything under the heavens was covered, even the tops of the mountains. It even gives us a specific amount of water, 15 cubits. So it gives us details, some specific, some general, about the flood itself. We got about to verse 21 or so, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both fowl and cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. Again, we talked about the fact that this is a global flood. This is not a local flood. If it was a local flood, then every animal upon the earth would not perish, because obviously you find a mountain or a hill to climb and not everybody dies in a local flood. but the description here is obvious. It continues on, verse 22, and all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, all of that was in the dry land died. So if there was any doubt about the verse before, again, anything that breathes died. Obviously, again, the description is unmistakable. If you just listen to the words that are here, the description we have obviously is something global, because everything dies. Excuse me. Verse 23. I had somebody say something about plants last week. Here it is. And every living substance was destroyed. This substance here is interesting. Substance means that which stands or exists. So everything that existed upon the earth died or was destroyed. Let's look back at two verses previous. Chapter 6, verse 13. God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with what? With the earth. The earth hadn't done anything wrong, but God's creation suffered as well because of this. Jump again to chapter 7, back a few verses, verse 4. It says, and yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth. Here's one of those times where it says 40 days and 40 nights. We're going to see that's mentioned four times in these verses, 40 days, 40 nights. And every living substance, there's that substance again, every living substance that I have made, I will destroy from off the face of the earth. And then in verse 23, there's the evidence that that is exactly what took place. Remember the list of those who were going in the ark, and then we found the list of who was in the ark just to verify that that did take place. And God says, this is what happened in our account of the flood. Every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of the heaven. They were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive and they that were with him in the ark. Is there any doubt in anybody's mind the totality of the flood. I hope not, because I don't know how to describe it any better. Or several times over and over again, we saw that every animal, every creeping thing, every man, every living substance was destroyed. I don't know how else you could state that more emphatically to get the point across. Pastor.
We don't have any doubt because we accept this as God's word. But for the unbeliever who rejects God's word, the sky's the limit on his explanation of it. Mm-hmm. He comes up with whatever he wants. We don't have any. We take it at face value. We don't try to explain it away.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Mankind doesn't want to accept God, doesn't want to listen to God, doesn't want to be responsible to God, and therefore they have to come up with some way to explain things that they come across. So what do they explain? And if, for instance, we're talking about science now, or supposed science, I call it junk science because most of it is anymore, you come across the layers of the earth. And so they say, here's a layer, and they have to determine how those layers were formed. We know how they were formed. They were formed through the flood, and as we'll see, the water's dissipated. That water's got to run off, creates those layers. During the flood, the layers built up, heavier layers below, lighter layers above. They can't explain that with the flood, because if they listen, accept the flood, then they have to exist. Accept what else God has to say. They don't want to do that, so they come up with some other explanation. Well, it had to take millions of years, because it takes millions of years to create those layers the way the earth works now. Yes, it does. I agree. But this isn't the way the earth worked back then or during this circumstance. Doug even told us about, or Doug and I talked about, I mentioned it last week, Mount St. Helens, when it erupted, and all the layers that were formed with the substances, and then the specific river that cut through that sediment and created those layers, they don't like to even look at that example, because according to the way they view history, that would be millions, 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 millions of years, and it didn't take millions of years to create those layers and that strata in there. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that they would say took millions of years, but obviously it can take place in a short period of time. So yes, we accept this as truth because we accept Scripture and what God has given to us. And thankful that He's given to us the information that He has, enough that we can trust this information. Verse 24, and here it says again, and the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Somebody tell me of a local flood that has lasted 150 days. That's what? Basically 5 months. Floods come, floods go. I don't know if I've ever heard of a flood that lasted for 5 months. And even at that, it would be a local region, not the entire earth. So obviously, the more you look at the evidence here, the more you see that this was not a local flood. Let me read a little paragraph in my study Bible here. The flood of waters, is described as a global flood. Universal terms such as all flesh, everything, several times we saw these mentioned, are used 30 times in describing the flood. Do you think the author was trying to get a point across? Not just once, not just twice. 30 times we see something like this. The double superlatives, every living thing of all flesh, or all hills under the whole heaven, clearly indicate the author intended to state his case unmistakably. The Hebrew word mabul, which means deluge, is used only to describe the flood, not any other circumstance in Scripture. As well as the New Testament word cataclysmos, which we get cataclysm from, It's only used in the New Testament to describe what? The flood, and no other instance that took place. The depth of the flood, the duration of the flood, and we'll see that as we keep going, how long the flood lasted, indicating that it was more, or excuse me, no mere local flood. The size of the ark, the square footage, its gross tonnage indicate the magnitude of the flood. God's promise, even, that we'll get to later on, that he would never again send such a flood upon the earth, also confirms its uniqueness. Even our Lord Jesus referred to both the historicity and universality, how do you like those two big words? And I actually made it through them without messing them up, of the flood as an example of the worldwide judgment to accompany his second coming. It's found in Matthew. All these things, it was a universal flood. I don't need to talk about it anymore. We've covered it. Okay. Some might say, you might think, I got an object lesson this morning. Some might think, you know what? Where did all this water come from? I mean, if you stop physically and stop think, okay, you got to cover the entire globe with a massive amount of water. Where did all this water come from? Well, it tells us back in chapter 1, verse 7. Let's look back there real quick. Chapter 1, verse 7 says, and God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from, and firmament, again, means space. So God divided the waters which were above the firmament, which were under the firmament from the waters which were above, and it was so. In other words, we talked about this way back when. There's water on the earth, there's a layer of space or atmosphere and a layer of water above the earth. If you stop and think about it, a layer of water above the earth. Now, I looked it up. It's on my phone. Hang on a minute. There is a atmosphere above the earth, right? So there's, and I'm going to read it because I don't know, the troposphere, which is the space that we live in, that we fly airplanes in, you know, air, whatever you want to call it. Then there's a stratosphere. There's an ozone layer within the stratosphere. The stratosphere, a mesosphere, a thermosphere, an exosphere. All these spheres around the earth, okay? Because there is an atmosphere between us and space, right? We know that. Okay, I don't have to explain. I'm not a scientist. I'm reading this out of something that I found. So there's these spaces or spheres, if you will, around the earth. If the troposphere or the space that we live in, of course, we live down in the lower part of it because I'm only this tall, but this space that we occupy, approximately 10 miles in airspace. The stratosphere is approximately 20 miles from that stratosphere, or excuse me, from the troposphere, stratosphere, 10 miles, 20 miles thick, I'm sorry. The next one's like 53 miles thick, these different spheres that are around the earth. So here's my illustration. If God created a barrier of water around the earth, how thick would that barrier have been? I don't know. The stratosphere above our space is 20 miles thick. Say God's water layer was a mile thick, 1/20th of that stratosphere. Now, I assume that those stratospheres God made when he originally created the earth, maybe, maybe not, I don't know. Again, I'm not a scientist, but I would imagine that he created the earth in its entirety. So within that stratosphere, there was probably that layer. How thick do you think that layer is? I don't know. Here's my illustration. This is as close as I could get, sorry. Say this is the earth, okay? The outside layer, 10 miles above the earth, is going to be this size, okay? If this was inside of here, you couldn't see it. But say the outer layer is bigger, obviously bigger than the inner layer, 10 miles above. What is the surface area of that sphere of water that's around the globe? That surface area has got to be massive, right? Even if it's only a mile thick, if you took all of this and put it on the Earth, you would probably double that layer, right? Because there's enough volume in that 1 mile thick thing of water. Even if it's a half mile thick, I don't care. I don't know. God doesn't say. But look at all that water that God brought down onto the earth. You want to know where the water came from? It says it came from underneath what God had in the earth and what God had over the earth. It took that water and put it upon the earth. Interesting to stop and think about that as we get into chapter 8. The waters had prevailed upon the earth 150 days. And God remembered Noah because God forgot Noah. No, God didn't forget Noah. Remember here means God was mindful of Noah. It can mean God kept in remembrance. God kept Noah in remembrance. That also has the idea of God's special attention or personal care for Noah during this time. God remembered Noah and every sibling thing, and again, all the cattle that was with him, all the animals, in other words. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged or receded. Interesting here, God made a wind upon the earth. In reading different places for this, with that, we talked about that sphere of water around the earth. There probably wasn't much wind. It was probably more like a tropical environment. The dew, there was no rain at that point, right? Remember, there was dew that came upon the earth. Lush plants and everything. There probably wasn't a lot of wind. What creates wind today? Thermal changes, right? There wasn't much thermal change in that, within that barrier. That would have kept much of the thermal change out. We deal with thermal change now. With that vapor barrier gone, now we deal with nature the way it is instead of nature the way it was. God created a wind. It could have been a quite turbulent wind. Probably wasn't much wind prior to this. What happens when you blow wind across water?
Waves.
What else? It evaporates, right? I get water in the basement, in my basement sometimes. What do I do to dry it up? I take the fan down there and turn the fan on, and after a while it evaporates, right? God brought a wind, excuse me, to pass over the earth, and the waters began to recede or subside or abate or decrease. That's what this means, this assuage, if that's what it says in your Bible. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. God had stopped that rain. He had brought that water upon the earth, and they were about to recede, and the waters returned. Again, returned means to withdraw or recede. In the seventh month of the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. When did the flood start? Remember? Back up a few verses. Second month, 17th day. So it's been 5 months that the flood was upon the earth at this point. 5 months so far. Imagine being in the ark 5 months, not knowing how long you were going to be in there. I don't know that God, we don't have an account of the fact that God told Noah how long he's going to be there. How would you like to be on a voyage in a ship to who knows where that you don't know what it's going to look like for 5 months? And finally the rain stops. You're out there floating around at least for 5 months. It's going to be way longer than that by the time we get done. But he says, so the second month, on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. So the ark came to rest upon the mountains of Ararat. Again, it says mountains here. It doesn't say Mount Ararat. So in that region, the ark has come to rest. Have we found the ark? No. There's been a lot of expeditions. There's been a lot of guides that take people up to different places that say, hey, this looks like the ark. Most of them have turned out to be fake. We don't know where it is. It'd be nice to find the ark, wouldn't it? That'd give us some more proof. Maybe we don't find the ark because we shouldn't need proof, right? Do you believe that Scripture is true? Yes or no? Yes. Does it matter if we find the ark? No, it doesn't. It would be nice to have that evidence, but I don't need it. If we find it, we find it. If we don't, we don't. Who says the ark is even in one piece anymore? Yeah, there you go. 4,000-year-old wood. Exactly. It'd be a miracle if it had been preserved. Some say, well, maybe it got frozen ice in a glacier. You know what happens to glaciers? They move. What happens to wood when you move it? It breaks up. So will we ever find it? I don't know. Have we found it? No. Pastor.
Because of man's tendencies, there's probably a good reason why the Lord has not allowed us to find it. What do I mean by that? The Catholic Church down through the ages have highlighted bone fragments of St. Peter, whoever, St. Thomas, whatever. And what do they do with it? They worship.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps God has just chosen, knowing how futile man is, to just leave it here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go.
4,000 years ago, we don't know much what happened 4,000
years
ago.
Yeah.
We don't even know how the pyramids got built.
Yeah, we can't even explain that.
That wasn't even that long.
Yeah. So, yeah, who knows? We may never find it. But like I said, again, it doesn't matter. We know that it came to rest. And it says, verse 6, verse 5, and the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. And in the 10th month, on the first day of the month, there were tops of the mountains seen. So another, 5 months? No, another 3 months, almost 3 months. Yeah, so another 3 months after they settled in and weren't floating anymore, another 3 months, and you could see other mountain tops. Again, how much water is there? I don't know.
A lot.
Exactly. It's interesting, though, as you stop to think, well, it's... and it, verse 6, and it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark, which he had made, and he sent forth a raven. As the waters start to decrease, I start to think, okay, if there's this massive amount of water on top of the earth, where did it all go? And so I started thinking. I looked up this information because I don't know this offhand. Do you know that 71% of the earth is covered by water? The average depth of the Atlantic Ocean is 12,000 feet. That's average depth. The average depth of the Pacific Ocean is 13,000 feet, with some places as deep as 36,000 feet. Amazing, isn't it? If originally the Earth was more flat and didn't have as many mountains or as deep oceans, God could have, in the flood, as he opened up those fountains from the deep, could have moved continents. They say that, you know, whatever North America and South America and Europe were once together and the continents split and changed because they fit. Okay, I don't have a problem with that. God could have done anything during the flood. He could have created deeper oceans. He could have pushed land up into mountain ranges that weren't there before. It doesn't say, it doesn't matter. God receded But if you want to know where all the water went, I'll tell you which direction to drive and take a look, and there's a lot of water out there. There you go. Even in that evaporation, that water goes where? Evaporates and goes up into clouds and creates cloud cover. Again, a place for that water to go. So it's not unforeseeable or unimaginable or even unexplainable where the water came from, where the water went. God used what he had created for his purpose, and that was to judge the earth. Excuse me. So he opened the window on the ark, and he sent forth a raven. I'm just going to read down through here. Sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. And he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. And then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated off the face of the earth. Again, not completely. These verses are not talking about all the water was gone. It had abated or it had receded, but not completely at this point. Apparently, it had receded enough in some place for plants to begin to grow. Again, how do plants grow? From seeds and watering. So just because the tree dies doesn't mean the seeds that are on the tree die as well. Yeah, verse 11. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth or receded from off the earth. And he stayed yet another 7 days and sent forth the dove, and which returned not to him anymore. And it came to pass in the 601st year. So again, if we're using the same calendar events, it's been a full year since the flood has started, and we're going to stop here. And we'll find out as we continue how long exactly the flood lasted and what Noah did when he left the ark. Lord bless you this morning. We're dismissed.